Now on today's program, a little Valentine's Day treat. It's Nora Ephron's You've Got Mail. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
And we hate movies. Hello, everyone. Welcome to We Hate Movies. Thank you for tuning in, as always. Happy Valentine's Week or whatever the fuck.
Yes.
Well, yeah. You know, well, whatever people worship.
Because, yes. Listen, we come out on Tuesdays. Valentine's Day is on a Wednesday.
Sure.
So, you know, I just want to make it clear, like, we're not celebrating, like, a week's worth of Valentine's here.
Whether you worship chocolates or roses or
I
cupids.
I certainly worship chocolate.
The film is from 1998, directed by the late, great Nora Ephron. This is the one that's a remake of The Shop Around the Corner, starring James Stewart.
Right. Lubitsch, man.
And in that movie, he's like trying to pick up chicks with Morse code, right? He's like sitting at the Morse code machine, right? There's some hotties on the wire. Not the web yet, Chris. There's no World Wide Web yet. He's doing the Morse code.
I thought he was like using messenger dinosaurs, like in the Flintstones. Yeah. Come here, pterodactyl. Send this lady a message. This stone tablet.
Yeah, we saw there was an adaptation of Shop Around the Corner on Broadway. There was a musical a couple years ago we went to. And this was the only time I'll ever say this. The dude, Zachary Levi.
Oh,
from
right.
Chuck,
oh, yeah.
Who I find intolerable on that show.
I am more like Up Chuck.
Yeah, nice. was pretty good at this musical.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was originally a play. It's originally a play.
And
so.
Wait, now I'm getting some, I'm being handed some information that they were actually pen pals in that 1940
movie. That's right. Yes.
They weren't using Morse code. Correction in from the news office.
I think you're just thinking of some old like James Stewart like war movie.
Yeah. Oh, wait, holy shit. Wait, one second. I'm handed something else from the news office that we have a Patreon episode on Man of Steel.
Yes. Well, that was so weird of the news office to just interrupt the episode.
Can you believe that? Well, I just want to let people know that at the $5 level, can get a full We Hate Movies episode on Man of Steel and Bright.
I should have seen the wording plug notice on the envelope when it was handed.
Handed another document, patreon.com/wehatemovies.
If it's plugged notice, that goes directly to me and don't open it.
Okay.
That goes directly to me and do not open it.
Do you want to talk about
Okay.
So in this film, we bring things into the modern era.
We're going to talk about everything from ASL, you know, all these to straight on dirty ass cyber sex.
That's what I don't understand. How do they not make the move to cyber sex in this
They
movie?
Totally did, man. I'm telling
Deleted
you.
Deleted scenes?
Yeah, they have to.
The seedy underbelly of You've Got Mail.
They met in a chat room.
Dude, yeah,
don't tell me they're not cybering.
Exactly.
Please don't tell me this.
It was the late 90s. We were all cybering then, all right?
So much cybering.
He's sending her isky art of what his dick looks like. Remember isky art or whatever?
Yeah,
am I saying it wrong?
This is.
Or ASCII,
isn't it? ASCII.
Over.
Is that Hungarian? What is that?
No, it's like a term that I'm not using correctly or saying right. That it's like you make a picture out of stuff on the keyboard.
It's like a pre-emoji kind
of
thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. But it's also like something you could use to bomb the chat room. Remember those jerks that would bomb the chat room?
Yep. I definitely do. Those people should have been put to death with real bombs. Yes.
By the way, just so Chris is fully aware,
yes.
8 plus sign plus, oh no, equals, okay, I'm starting again.
Okay.
8 equal capital D.
Oh, the penis.
There you go.
That's what he's talking about.
Okay, the penis.
But they would have these intricate ones where it would be like a fat guy and then his cock was hanging out.
Exactly.
Like they got really complicated with these things.
Well, on Twitter they have those nows with like the in this house.
We're doing this.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the same shit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They kind of bombed the Twitter chat room a little bit with that, to be quite honest. It's taking up a lot of my space.
I'm going on the chat room, mother.
So yes, we open with and it does take me back because I'm of a certain age. The logon screen from AOL.
Oh boy. Man. It just hits you.
And that phone modem, ooh baby.
All of the endless and pointless conversations I had about episodes of the X-Files.
I mean, what we should have started this episode, our episode with that door open noise.
Oh right, dude.
When that's a new buddy, when one of your buddies logged
he's
on.
He's coming, man.
Clunk, chunk.
Oh yeah.
And it was always fucked up though, because it was like, all right, I hope this is someone I like.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's like, oh man, because like I think when they initially came out with it, they didn't have like muting, hiding or whatever.
But you could do if you were real thirsty, as the kids might say. Now, because I want to like bring the kids in because they don't know what we're talking about.
Okay, right. So this is like when you like you're flirting on Instagram and then you start sending dick pics. This is the
or you send a thirst trap.
You could send an alert. Set an alert for yourself when that person logs on, because it's what? Oh shit, yes. Stop everything.
Yes,
Scotty, shop girl has logged on.
Shop girl.
That's the weird thing about this movie, though. So they're only doing email, and at one point, like Hanks moves to IM, and it's like a big move. And I'm like, why aren't they IMing each other?
They met in a chat room. It's the same thing.
Well, maybe they're not online at the same time.
Yeah, I see.
Huh. Yeah, because there's a lot of like late night just up crying on your huge laptop. Well,
yeah, she says that they met when she was drunk, like on her birthday.
Well,
yeah,
that's when you get drunk and then, other days.
And then it was just a clean talk at
midnight. She was going to send them a really, really, really low-res picture of her half of her breasts.
Yeah, thirst trap.
So we open up.
I have to point out a couple things about this opening, by the way. So the Warner Brothers logo, you better believe that turns into a fucked up low-res image.
Well, it's on like a weird desktop, like we're making the movie on our bad
and then
computer.
It pans back and fucking Neo is sitting there at work.
Can't believe I bootlegged this. This movie is terrible.
Morpheus, are you shop girl?
No, that's me, you fucking piece of shit.
Neo, they're coming for you. The FBI is here.
What if I told you that we could talk about our penises and vaginas on the internet?
I'd say sign me up. Username thirst trap. Oh, but then so when the title card comes up, this is what was weird. And I was like, did I accidentally rent some like fan edit parody? Like, you know, those fake trailers are like, you could easily edit this into like a fucking creep fest thing.
Yeah.
Cause did you notice it just the screen goes to black and then in blood red text it just says you've got mail. I was like, that's from like Copycat. It was the same font. Yeah, it was really weird.
But you know what? That bringing this all together, kind of Warner Brothers wanted to be in the internet business because they did come out with The Matrix the next year. So like some fucking the head of Warner Brothers came in and threw a whole script at Nora Ephron. I was like, make it about the fucking internet. We're only about the internet now.
They are only about the internet now, because the website for this movie from 1998 is still online. I was on it today.
Geez. Space Jam's got it beat, dude.
Yeah, that's true. But you could read all their emails from the movie in this website.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
So you
cool.
can like hack their butter emails?
Yes,
but
exactly.
Shop Girl's emails?
The way Shop Girl handled that that classified info from NY 152 was irresponsible.
So yeah, Meg Ryan is Shop Girl, and
which makes sense. She's a woman who owns a bookstore.
And then Tom Hanks is NY152 because he's the 152nd person in New York to get the internet. Like, that's how that worked. He was 152.
It's kind of surprising that he got that. It is because he lives at 152 Riverside Drive,
which is ridiculous. Which is like, oh, my screen name. Oh yeah, it's my address.
Yeah, no, bad move.
152 Riverside Drive, apartment B5
at AOL.com.
Key under the doormat at AOL.com.
Is
he just
anyone's...
goes into chat rooms and just says murder me over and over again.
Here's a question really quickly, because I have a definitive answer for this. Is anyone's are anyone's parents still using AOL?
No. We got some Yahoos.
I
think I might got a Hotmail on my hands.
My father is still using an America Online email address.
What in the world?
I can't even fucking tell you.
So is he still dialing in?
No, you can't dial in anymore. What are you, crazy?
I don't know.
You might be able to.
No, it's a weird... Their interface is like you log in. It's basically just like a web interface. Like you log into AOL... through a web browser.
I was wondering if he's still using the discs. You got the, I got all these minutes I got to use.
Dude, we had those minutes. I mean, we had minutes for days. Mm-hmm. Minutes for days. We'd throw them at each other.
Of course.
Yeah, as long as he's not binging, I think it's fine.
I do think...
Oh, no, my father does not bing.
Before we get into the meat of the film, I do think that this is a particular episode where we should call out Eric's favorite catchphrase, which is...
That is, it's okay to like a movie.
It absolutely is. And some of us in this room might like this movie. I don't even
know. You never know. You know what? Stick around to the end and find out.
It's not me.
So, yeah, we open up...
We know, you crotchety fuck.
Uh-huh. We're sending each other emails, and we're like, kind of, New York is waking up because this movie is grand in scope.
Oh, it is, man. And, you know, I am a sucker for a good New York waking up montage.
Sure.
I love this town, man. The other day I fucking stepped in shit, and I was like, I still love New York. It was horse shit near Central Park. Couldn't even believe it.
But
those horses should be freed.
Did you yell de Blasio, you son of a bitch? You said no more!
I just screamed, fuck you, Liam Neeson!
But I like New York movies that more reflect like my experience in the city, much like Panic Room. Not this, where it's just fucking two pretty rich one pretty rich person and another fucking wealthy as fuck, like Koch brother level.
Yeah, I mean,
I agree with Chris. I mean, the New York movies that warm my heart are like Good Time.
Yeah, that's true. Good Time, actually, I just watched, do I know that guy?
I was like, that
fucking dude, like at the end of Good Time,
yes,
that falls out the window. I was like, I think I've seen that dude at my old bodega.
Or the big fat guy that comes and like invisibly makes the gun motion because he's going to get a gun.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, oh, I totally bought weed from that dude.
Here's one that I just saw today, the new fucking Lynn Ramsey movie with Joaquin Phoenix, You Were Never Really Here, yeah, I think it's called. First of all, great movie. Second of all...
And it's a sequel to I'm Not Here. I'm Not Here or There?
No,
what was
I'm
that
still
doc
here.
He did? What he did?
I'm Still Here.
I'm still here,
right. I wish it was. Well, he's got a similar haircut and beard, actually, but we'll all appreciate this in this room. Large portion of that movie filmed on location in Astoria.
Wow.
Astoria, Queens. Wow. Yeah.
Where this all began. Yeah, I mean, like, I kind of agree with the other guys. Like, there's like, these are doormen rich New York, which I don't really have an affinity
towards. I've never,
towards.
Like, even had an interaction with a doorman. Like,
no, there are people to be ignored.
No.
No, I know what you mean. You've never walked into a building with a doorman.
Yeah. I mean, I think I visited someone once, but it wasn't like a thing. It's just like, it's such an alien concept to me.
It's very weird. Office building or residential. When someone's at a desk, I start freaking out.
Yeah, it's a little bit, yeah. This movie is, Meg Ryan owns The Shop Around the Corner, which is a nod to the movie.
What?
Shop Around the Corner.
Holy shit, I almost fucking shit my pants.
And speaking of quaint technology, this the panic we had is the big box bookstore, which is like a Barnes & Noble, which did eat up a lot of bookstores in its own day.
Fox Books. Rupert Murdoch's Tentacle Arms.
Oh, I thought it was a reference to The Fox and the Hound, which this is also a
What's
remake
that?
Of.
No, those people have never read books own these chains, dude. They're not well-read enough for clever gags like that.
Oh, darn.
The family name is Fox. He's Joe fucking Fox.
Joe Fox.
Now, what is The Fox and the Hound? Is that the one where like the frog wears a fancy
it's
driver's
a Disney
outfit?
Movie. What is everybody talking about?
I have no idea.
What are you talking, dude? You're talking about The Wind in the Willows. Are you fucking kidding me?
Well, there's a frog in a hat,
and it's not a fucking frog. Oh, it's a toad. The man's name is Mr. Toad.
What's the one with the great mouse that's also a detective?
The title is the thing.
Wait, The Wind in the Willows? I'm supposed to remember that from a toad?
But where would a frog and a hat fit into a fox or a hound?
I thought maybe he was the chauffeur.
right this way, Mr. Fox.
In defense of Eric, there is that Frog 007 movie wear a cap.
Actually, now I'm thinking, what if this was... Better movie, it's Lucius Fox's book company.
Yes.
And it's Morgan Freeman as the Dabney Coleman role. You get your Dave Chappelle, make him the sexy guy.
That would be something. I'd watch that movie.
By the way, Dave Chappelle in this movie looks so much better than Tom Hanks with his doughy rectangle head. What is that?
I'll tell you what, I think this is the last movie where Tom Hanks kind of looks like young Tom Hanks.
Yes. He's pushing it.
You can see the doughification happening, of course, but compared to now, man, he still has that long face, and the hair is still just a titch on the fro side.
Yeah, the eraser head.
Yeah, he's got the jack net. Give me the jack nets, said Tom Hanks to the barber.
Is that being beaten to death in a donut shop?
Wait, is that how he went?
Yeah.
Oh, that's sad. Yeah.
There was something about a prostitute also. It was
man led a hard life.
Oh, Jack Nance died as he lived, man. Rocking and rolling, fucking and sucking till the sun came up.
Wrapped in plastic.
Yeah, the city wakes up and so do we. And we get this kind of very flirtatious... Where you know, you're the best part of my day kind of a thing.
Hell
they're
right.
having what we call an emotional affair, right. Which is, which Beverly Hills 90210 will tell you, is the most dangerous kind of affair.
Oh. Yes.
Why is that, Steve?
Because, you know.
What?
Because it's more than just talking about your penises and vaginas.
Exactly.
Oh, I see. Well, because they're like getting involved but not getting involved. Because and then the difference is, by the way, this isn't like when fucking scuzzy people like cheat on their wives on, you know, via Facebook or something.
Sure. No.
They don't know who each other is.
Yeah, they don't have pictures because right. Technology wasn't there yet.
Oh, no. But also, she doesn't want it.
No, she
doesn't. She's very specific about wanting to keep it the way it is.
Mm-hmm. This is back when everyone was a catfish.
That's the thing, man. Eventually in this movie, he turns to catfishing, and I think... He might be, this character, Joe Fox, played by the great Tom Hanks, might be cinema's first catfisherman.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
Patient Zero.
Oh, I thought you were going to say cinema's greatest monster.
Well, that's
it's
too.
Up there. He gets pretty creepy
this
at the
is
end.
Fucked up, this movie, man.
It's so him in the Red Skull, kind of.
It's the Upper West Side. She has a very cute little children's bookstore, which is actually based on something called Wonder Books, which still exists down in 14th Street. That's kind of the weird thing. Is like we're talking about, oh, my God, the books. Where are the bookstores going to go? Most of the little independent bookstores actually survived, and now they're kind of coming back.
Yep.
But now it's just Amazon just runs our souls. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we're worried about Barnes & Noble because we need, like, actual jobs in this country as opposed to Jeff Bezos's fucking head buffer.
Head buffer. Yeah, dude, that guy's got a shiny dome, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I was trying to look up which one I wanted to plug, and I can't find it here. But my wife and I were at a fucking amazing bookstore on the Upper West Side, funny enough, a couple weekends back. And I was like, fuck, this is refreshing. It was just so awesome being in. I mean, I was in the bookstore at the New York Public Library the other day. Sort of the same thing, but not really.
Mm-hmm. The Strand still exists down on 14th Street.
The Strand is still around. Yeah, that dude just died the other day.
He did. I mean, I think they own that building, so that's going to... Hopefully they don't sell it, because they can get $1 trillion if they sold that building.
The thing about the Strand is, don't go to the Strand if you know the thing that you want to buy.
Yes, exactly.
Because good fucking luck.
It's a great browsing thing.
Yeah,
like
an impulse purchase.
Yeah.
You know, if you for some reason have to slum it at that fucking Union Square movie theater, that's terrible.
Word Bookstore in Jersey City and Brooklyn, by the way. Great little chain there. I mean, but that's the thing. Like, the quaint bookstore survived this kind of big box push. You know what I mean? Because it's a different experience, obviously.
It is. I mean, but like, a lot of them were
closed. Oh,
yeah.
But now it's amazing because, like, you know, I'm thinking about. There was a huge Barnes & Noble where, like, that Century 21 is on the Upper West Side.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's long gone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Long gone. The one that is kind of in the area where this movie takes place, where, like, the Fox books would sort of be, is still there. I've used that bathroom plenty of times.
Oh, sure. Man, you can get in trouble in those bathrooms.
Wait, what?
No, it's just...
Hold on a second. What are you doing in there?
It's a gross scenario. Like, you're always...
You're tapping toes?
No, it's
Were you luring
people? No, because somebody might be sleeping in there.
Exactly. Someone's sleeping. Everything's wet. It's not a good
From
scenario.
From you?
No.
Are you sure?
So,
oh, by the way, it's called Book Culture on Columbus Avenue.
Oh,
on
I like that
West
place.
Side.
Oh, yeah.
It's great.
So,
anyway, yeah, this movie, we're talking about bookstores like a bunch of nerds.
She runs a small children's bookstore specifically, and I don't know the woman who her, like, number two is, but you know Clinton's is an office because Steve Zahn is in this movie.
Yeah.
The other woman...
That guy is the... he's the secretary of Making Me Smile.
Oh, fuck, look at that. Steve Zahn's got a haircut, looks just like my little bro, Rob.
I thought you were going to say you knew it was the Clinton era because John Randolph is still alive.
Well,
also that. The woman who's the number two at the store, played Zach Galifianakis's lady friend on Bored to Death.
Oh, okay.
She's a very funny actor.
Oh, yeah.
And Edith Bunker is in this
film? I'll tell you what. There's a scene in this movie. It's like during the Christmas montage. They fucking very smartly place her at a piano, man. I kind of got a little emotional.
Oh, yeah.
Edith back fucking tickling the ivories, dude. Did you guys not watch All in the Family? TV
no.
Land classic
like, hold
in my
on a
house.
Second. Am I 57 years old?
Yes.
TV Land.
Well, then I did. I know. I did. I watched it. Don't get mad at me.
Actually, dude,
we're
you
gonna have
it
don't
perfect.
Get mad at me.
We're going to have to wrap this cabinet meeting. All in the Family's on in 20 minutes.
Oh, fuck. What's Meathead going to get into this week? Oh, boy.
Oh, shit. What if we relaunched All in the Family and Steve Zahn was Meathead? Yeah, we could just replace Vietnam with the Gulf War, baby.
Lewinsky had the stained dress.
Oh. Yes, dude, that's how it
was. Ken the Star was awfully mad.
Those were the days. And then a saxophone solo happens.
Absolutely.
This could have happened.
This definitely could have happened.
Now, this version I'd watch.
So where are we? New York has woken up for the 19th time. We're really trying to talk about
holy
this movie.
Fuck.
No, I mean, like, so she's got her crew. Tom Hanks's number two is actually Dave Chappelle before he started badmouthing trans people and everybody liked him.
I got news for you, buddy. He badmouths trans people and a lot of people still like him.
Yep. Yeah, that's not all right. But I haven't seen any of them specials.
Those bits fucking hit like a third.
He's just so proud of it, too. It's so weird. Shut the fuck up already.
Supposedly, though, Kevin, did you see the new ones, though? There's like two new ones.
I saw one, and I heard the trans jokes, and I didn't watch it anymore.
No, but that's from the first two new ones.
Yeah,
now there's two new ones.
No, I haven't watched the two new ones.
Because apparently he addresses the fuck up or something. I don't know. I couldn't be bothered.
Is it the Netflix special, More Hate to Sell?
I don't know, but he was kind of funny on the Grammys.
Explain the hate.
But yeah, I mean, this is back in a rosier day for Dave Chappelle.
Also, by the way, making me almost come to tears during this opening montage, use of the Cranberries.
Oh, right.
Too soon.
Too soon. Man. I was fucking blindsided, dude.
Too soon.
1998. Too soon.
So
everyone will eventually die, so nothing should ever happen.
So
I agree with that, actually.
Yeah, Tom Hanks is a little rich boy. He's a Jared Kushner type because dad owns the company.
God, he's such
Dabney
a
Coleman.
Shit.
And then granddad, John Randolph, is there.
John Randolph, of course, from
the original Mr. Costanza.
Yes, the original Mr. Costanza, and he's also fucking
Clark
Griswold
Sr.
Yes.
Yes, he is. And they're
the father of fail sons.
They're like jerking off to this business that they just closed. They're like, ugh. Oh, fucking whatever, that old fucking bookstore just closed. Ugh.
Oh, yeah, totally. He's like, hey, Grandpa, we just closed another one.
You come on, Leather. You can close that bookstore. You close the bookstore the best.
Papa Fox, you get the sledge.
Oh, my God. Yes. Yes. It's them. And it's just Leatherface in the room.
It's fucking John Randolph beating a grad student cashier to death with a ball peen hammer.
Gets Christmas Cena on force.
I love capitalism.
That's pretty much it. So
this is the true capitalism of love story, but
oh yeah.
Yeah, oh my God. Man. So like, you know, basically the story is he's opening this store. It's more than likely going to close her store. Uh-oh, it's a problem, but they're also in love because they're both, by the way, cheating on their very good spouses. Like you've got Meg Ryan is paired with a very fuckable Greg Kinnear.
Can we just quick yes. I'm not going to counter that. A fucking 1998 Greg Kinnear, where do I sign
that? I will one up that.
No, what I want to clarify, neither of them are married to these people.
That's true.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you say in spouses.
Oh,
neither of them are married.
Partners or boyfriend, girlfriend.
Meg Ryan and Greg Kinnear, the fuckable Greg Kinnear, do not even live together.
I do want to mention I would also fuck Greg Kinnear.
Yeah. This just in from the news desk.
I'm handed
turns
something.
Out I'll fuck him.
I'm handed something here. It says I will fuck Greg Kinnear. But I want to say, It's too late. Not now. Back then.
Hang on a second, though. How far could it go? Because you've got mail, Greg Kinnear, sure. Are you fucking autofocused, Greg Kinnear?
I don't know.
Because Willem Dafoe wanted
to. I gotta say, Andrew, that I think 1999 is as good as it gets.
Oh, man. I will be outside.
I'd still do it in autofocus.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Are we going? Well, no one's going to the rake, though, right?
Oh, no, that's too far. Nobody watched that show.
Chris Cabin, can Willem Dafoe watch?
Sure. Or beat him to death with a lamp.
Yeah. So
I love that movie. That's like my favorite amazing. Paul Schrader movie.
And he's, like you said, he's the writer for The Observer. And we've also got Parker Posey, fucking the prime time, knock it out of the park in every role, Parker Posey, which she does in this movie as well.
Yes, absolutely. She's a fellow Purchase alum with us.
Right. Wow. Same college. I'm just letting people know what Purchase means.
Hey, you know what? Pretty cool.
She's Tom Hanks's girlfriend. And like, I mean, this is the weird thing about romantic comedies. It's like, if you watched only romantic comedies, you would always be cheating on whoever you're with whatever infatuation you have, because that's what romantic comedies tell you to do. It's like,
You're just doing whatever movies tell you to do.
Because it's like, the next thing is right around the corner. Like my true love is this new girl that I'm infatuated with. Like, oh yeah, I've been committed for this long, and then you kind of just keep going on and on.
Yeah, and it's, I don't want to hold us up on this, but can anyone quickly think off the top of their head a rom-com in where like the both people are single? I'm sure they're there.
Yeah, it's always somebody being like, oh, I'm in the wrong fucking relationship with this asshole, and the other guy's like, hey. What did I do?
I guess it's like if you go down to like teen shit, like all that kind of thing. Like, there's.
Would you count Before Sunset as a rom-com?
No.
Ooh. Well, wait. So
the
before,
first. I'm sorry.
Before
the
Sunrise.
First one. Yeah. Before Sunrise.
No, not at all. Okay. That's just a classic film.
I think there's some funny moments. It's funny and it's romantic. So
isn't he single and sleepless in Seattle? At least I think she's got.
Dude,
I haven't seen that in a long time.
I don't remember.
He's dating someone slightly when they meet.
Yeah, fuck that lady.
Yeah. Well, that's what the son tells him to do, and he does everything the son tells him to do, so what the fuck?
So they're having this emotional affair, and oh my god, this business is coming in. And like, this movie has like 41 acts. It's like it's got more acts than the Apostles, man.
It's fucking 2 hours, man. I couldn't even believe it.
And it's not plot heavy. It's just a lot of scenes of like, we're getting to know everybody a little bit.
It's a new range I'd like to introduce. It's not longer than Star Wars.
Okay. Oh.
But it is longer than Raiders of the Lost Ark. A globe-trotting adventure through history versus fucking an online relationship.
You know what? You're absolutely right. And that arc...
It's a chat room, Marion. Don't look at it.
That arc changes hands a lot in that movie, too. I'll tell you that much.
Marion, he wants to cyber. Don't look at it.
But chat.
Yes. Bad chat.
He rides a submarine in that movie. Anyway, god damn this fucking movie.
So yeah, I mean, like, what we do find out the first time they actually meet IRL is there's this weird thing where like Dabney Coleman, who's Hanks's dad, who's probably like 9 years older than him anyway. I didn't do that. I forget how famously old Dabney Coleman is.
Dabney Coleman's one of those dudes, and of course now get ready to curse him, but I'm always like, fuck, he's still around?
Yeah.
So now he just dropped dead the second I said that.
I thought that was going to happen right after Boardwalk Empire.
Oh, yeah,
dude,
man.
Yeah. When he was on Boardwalk Empire, I was like, is that? No, it couldn't.
He got rid of the mustache, though, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
He looked so much older.
That's what made him age, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, plus he was like dying that mustache with fucking, I don't even know what.
It was like Samson with that hair.
Yes.
You get rid of it, you fucking wither, man.
Don't look at Dabney Coleman's mustache, Marion. You know what my wife pointed out? It was actually a note that my father-in-law first made about this movie.
Oh.
Is that it's totally weird bullshit that like this massive corporation is also like a family business.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is sort of weird.
That's not how they work. Like, you would sell it off first. You know what I mean? Like,
they probably would have been bought out by something. Mm-hmm. Like, Dabney Coleman is not like keeping it in the family this
long. Yeah, it's Fox and Sons, whereas like the Barnes and Noble's families fucking hate each other and they want to fucking kill each other. And the Borders don't get even me started.
Oh my God.
I think
the Borders.
Well, no, the Borders got buried in the fucking
Waldens. The fucking Waldens.
In a Kansas desert by fucking their brother Dominic. John Borders was like, oh, wait. Oh, no. Oh, no.
And I was always a fucking Borders dude, man.
Oh, yeah, no. Man.
Fucking Barnes and Noble. No thanks.
So they meet IRL because Dabney Coleman is marrying some other woman, which is a totally useless plot point as well.
The hooker from American Psycho.
Yes, you're totally right. Oh, my God.
I needed to place this woman. But he has like two younger kids, and it's like this weird thing where, like, you know, he's obviously so old. So, like, it's like Tom Hanks's aunt is like 11 years old. And then somebody at Warner Brothers is like, oh, this is a great script, Nora. This is fantastic. Does Tom ever talk to a floppy haired little boy?
Yeah, go rewrite it. Yeah, go rewrite it. Write me in a fucking brown haired, floppy haired little kid.
Let me ask you, I have a headache now, but, have you seen Sleepless in Seattle? Do you know what he does for the entire movie? He talks to a kid!
Nope, floppy hair. What did I just say? Get this buzz cut out of my office!
There's somewhere around here, you know, where Tom Hanks, after a day of celebrating crushing a family business, such as the shop around the corner, is sitting at home, and I've never done this. He's sitting at the counter... Mm-hmm. Reading a book while chugging a Heineken?
Yeah.
You've never done that?
No. Well, Heineken 1 is one of the worst beers of all time. But 2, yeah, I'm not a big, like, I'm drinking and reading.
Well, Steve is.
Yeah, actually.
I know, because you're like, text me. You're like, I'm at a bar reading a book. And I'm like, Jesus.
What? There's nothing that's wrong bleak. With that.
Exactly. That's why I don't do it. So I don't get a Jesus.
There's nothing wrong. First of all, I'm not like just texting you asking for help. It's usually like, hey man, they're playing a cool song, or hey man.
Oh fuck, I really hope Eric's not busy.
I need help.
You know what? Click cool. Like if you read and drink at the same time.
I'm usually kind of jealous because it's a lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle.
I just don't. Here's
my thing is he's standing at a counter while doing it, which is incredibly uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's true. My whole thing is, like, I'm just so easily distracted when it comes to reading that, mm-hmm. like, I can't do that in public.
And I'm so easily distracted when it comes to drinking.
Oh, what was that? My eighth beer, you say?
He's, like, taking around his uncle and his aunt, who are both, like, 10 years old or whatever.
Yeah.
And they go to the shop around the corner. And they drag him in. He kind of knows that he's putting them out of business.
He knows the score.
He feels a little bit bad, but he's also like, I'm curious. Like, who am I crushing today? So he goes inside.
He wants to see the white of the eyes of the enemy.
And he starts, like, giving Steve Zahn shit about an ancient book. Like, he's like, hey, take that book out. And Steve's like, yeah, man, sure. And he takes it out, and he's like, how much does this cost? And he's like, well, it's a first edition. So I was like, $300. $300? My God, how are you going to turn a profit?
Yeah, it's illustrated. Like, he's like, these are like hand-drawn illustrations from this famous artist.
The artist who did these illustrations is a very well-respected artist. He killed a baby, drained the blood out of its body, and used that blood to help make the ink made those drawings.
The book is bound in human flesh and written in blood.
It's signed by Bruce Campbell.
Then Dan Aykroyd comes out, raise occult books, what do you want?
Let me tell you something. Barnes & Noble fucking slaughtered raise occult books. Are you kidding me?
Oh, absolutely.
That's fucking St. Mark's real estate?
That should have been Ghostbusters 3.
I don't believe that, actually, because I think fucking raise occult will take a couple books Barnes & Noble says no to.
Oh, yeah. A couple of ones on a blacklist.
You've got Gozer.
All right, yeah, over there you got human sacrifice. Over there you got child pornography.
What?
Back to the left.
And in the back room, that's just all manifestos.
Oh, yeah, dude, the manifestos section takes up the majority of that bookstore.
No, we do not have the Turner Diaries. What does this look like, Walmart? Yeah.
Milk toast. We do have an entire shelf dedicated to Ruby Ridge, though.
We also got a couple of paperback because Charlotte's Web left. That'll haunt you.
So, he takes them in. He's giving this person shit. And then, he realizes not to tell Meg. He's kind of flirting with Meg Ryan because it's, 1998 Meg Ryan. What are you going to do?
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Sun's up. Come on.
Exactly. It's a year before she gave up on life and did Proof of Life.
Mm. Well, she actually said famous about this movie was this movie didn't challenge her at all, and she was fucking tired of it, which is kind of admirable, but then her career went literally inside of a toilet.
Yeah, but also, you're fucking Meg Ryan. You don't have to do anything.
That's true. Yep. Yeah.
But Proof of Life was her and Russell Crowe.
Yeah, that's where she started her affair with Russell Crowe and ended her marriage with Quaid.
Yeah, that's a bummer. But now she's with what's-his-face there?
Mellencamp?
John Cougar Mellencamp. I almost said Bobcat Goldthwait.
No way!
I'm mixing up my fucking cat name, people.
Jack and Diane!
I don't have a Bobcat.
Only Bobcat has that Bobcat.
But I love the idea that those two men could be confused for one another.
It was just the cats, man!
Couple of cats.
She's married to Lion-O. Oh no, I get my cats mixed up. It's John Cougar Mellencamp,
the guy who sang Cherry Bomb, Bobcat Goldthwait. That's it.
All right. The point is, she lives on a farm with John Cougar Mellencamp,
yes,
and you know that's some hot sex.
Real famous guy. Yeah, he played Salem the cat in Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Oh, did I?
No, so he's flirting with her, but he realizes that he shouldn't give her his last name, even though Fox is a totally common last name. It's fine, but he's he doesn't give her his last name, and
right.
He's kind of lying to her. Later on, they kind of meet up at this Christmas party because this whole movie kind of sort of takes place around Christmas.
Yeah, it's it's very loosely a Christmas movie.
In September, I could tell you that because I went through the emails.
Oh shit.
Because there's that beginning, it's don't you love autumn in New York? Because it makes me want to buy...
That's another bad New York movie.
Makes me want to buy school supplies.
Emails. Yeah, and he's if I knew... And this is the creepiest line in the whole movie. He's if I knew your address, I would send you a jar full of sharpened pencils.
Oh, right. Dude, that's the start of it. And, it's one of those things where...
Oh, man, I'm wet right now.
Yeah,
if you're not paying attention, that line flies right by you.
Yes.
But you fucking take a deep dive into this guy, man. Mm-hmm. There are some ulterior motives.
Yeah, and he also said, I would love it, especially later in the summer. A Don Jr.
Yeah.
He's basically Donald Trump Jr. or Kushner.
Yep. Yes.
He's one of these nincompoops.
He's privileged, he's stupid, and he's looking for the next thing to jump on.
He's not as dumb as Don Jr., though, so it's got to be a Jared.
And actually, Floppy Haired Boy is essentially Baron.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That's true.
Oh, right. They also do a thing in this movie that I don't like, which is when a rich person loses their home, they just go live on their boat that's docked on the Hudson.
Holy shit.
It's just always there, fully stocked bar.
Just ready to
multiple
roll.
Multiple bedrooms or whatever on this yacht.
Yeah.
There's three. It's the Fox 1, the Fox 2, and the Fox 3. There's three boats all next to each other.
The grandpa, the dad, and Tom Hanks, they all sit in their boats at night and jerk off thinking about all the fucking poor little independent bookstores they shut down.
And I'm almost certain that all the hulls are full of cocaine.
Oh, yeah. Guaranteed, dude. Well, that's not just a book fortune.
This is towards the end of the movie, but Dabney Coleman comes out of this this limousine, and he's like, ha, another one left me. But I think he's killing these women, yes. Right?
He states, though, and this is an interesting little detail that's not explored. He says that his wife, who's 25, left him for the nanny, who is indeed a woman.
Sure.
And it's a weird, gay.
It's the late 90s, and the word lesbian was a punchline. Watch Friends. It's just like people sitting around, and then somebody says, lesbian. And I heard the fucking audience cannot fucking keep their mouth closed. They're laughing so hard.
Yeah. Well, gay too, man. Friends is all about that.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's a totally fine show, but then every fucking so often, a gay person's a punchline.
There's an annoying thing. So, like, he's hanging out with these little kids, and he takes them to the boat, and he does this, like, all right, kids, like, turn to the river and say, hello, New Jersey. Yeah. And I was like, nobody wants to say hi to Jersey.
Yeah, it's like, oh, let's just piss on New Jersey.
Yeah, it's like, hey, little kid, fucking piss on that river. Maybe some of it will touch Jersey.
Don't piss in the river.
No, it's got enough. So they go to a Christmas party.
Oh, right.
Him and Parker Posey and Meg Ryan and the incredibly fuckable Greg Kinnear go to a Christmas party.
That's an Amazon show, I think, by the way.
Isn't that Kevin Bacon show, I Love Dick, where everyone's trying to...
I thought it was more of like an Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt type thing.
Well, it's like the marvelous Mrs. Maisel, the incredibly fuckable Greg Kinnear. Spinoff. There's a thing, an obnoxious Greg Kinnear trait in this movie, though, where he's fucking pontificating about how amazing it is to use typewriters still. Yeah, These people bother me. And I'm roping Tom Hanks into this because he wrote that book of short stories.
Oh, right.
And the gag was, or the, you know, not the gag, but the gimmick, rather, was like, all of this was originally transcribed on a typewriter. From Hanks's noodle to a typewriter. Who gives a fuck? There's a reason computers are better than typewriters and why we use computers more than typewriters.
He's essentially a liberal David Brooks.
His first lines in this is that there's going to some state, like, they had to fire a bunch of people because they were playing solitaire on their phones.
Well, because he's a total Luddite.
On their computers. I'm sorry. We're not playing anything on our phones.
Well, exactly.
The phone's on the table plugged
into
the
wall. I don't even have a phone.
No, yeah, because he's a total Luddite, right? Yeah. So he loves fucking typewriters. And yeah, his whole thing is like, see, we had to lay off all these people at the state because they were just playing fucking Minesweeper
but
the whole day.
But this is like, you know, you get like an older, out of touch, you know, person, like your parents or whatever.
Greg Kinnear's like 32 in this movie.
Yeah, but it's a new thing. And they're like, well, you know, I'm fine with my flip phone or whatever. You know,
here's
like,
the thing, man. You cannot be scared of all technology because you will fucking die in the cold.
And Greg Kinnear says it's going to be the end of Western civilization because people played solitaire.
Is he wrong?
Yeah, exactly.
We have a president who uses the technology.
Yeah.
Oh, so then, yeah, that just makes
well,
sense.
Well, nobody could fucking foresee that cock coming.
Yeah, come on.
I'm opening Trump books. It's where Trump books, come on down. We burn books. It's my family business. We burn books now.
Except for the Turner Diaries.
And Mein Kampf. Oh, my God. What a read.
Yeah, we read books instead of burning them.
That's one of my favorite lines in that movie.
You know what's obnoxious is how no one in this movie is pointing out that for all the fucking bitching about Fox and Sons books.
Yeah.
Nobody has a problem fucking ski-daddling into Starbucks every
morning. Oh, absolutely.
Morning.
The fucking, all of the coffee shops that are being shuttered day in and day out.
Totally.
Well, that's the weird thing about this movie is like nobody has, like, it's really just because Meg Ryan likes her bookstore. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, right.
And it's like, that's the only thing. It's not about actually the ethics of like what it is to close down another store. It's just like, but it's Meg Ryan's.
Yeah.
It's not really about how, like, the business works, even. Like, that's what the original movie kind of is about. Is about how the shop and around the corner works.
Yeah.
And, like, and they meet each other in there. But,
you know,
like,
what I think the problem is, though, in this scenario? It's the fact... And this is something that she should have entertained and did not in the film. Yeah. It's solely a children's bookstore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why don't we get some fucking fiction for older audiences in there? See what's going on.
You want a couple of spell books?
Got a whole lot of occult shit I can load off on you. It's got to go somewhere.
Doctor Strange comes in through the portal to take a book.
I just got a lot of books on the Slender Man. Got to cut down inventory.
Meg Ryan, I've come to bargain.
He's come for the bargain.
Two for five.
Well,
it's also like this is happening right at like the Disneyfying of New York City. Like, oh, sure. It's all about just like, yeah, New York City is going to turn to a corporate fucking zone.
Exactly. But you know what they did not predict? And it's a fucking, it's a hilarious look back on it now line is when they're like, they're pretty certain that, you know, it's just a matter. It's not an if, but a when this bookstore goes out of business. And so Steve Zahn is, you know, deep derping all through this movie, being
that
Steve Zahn.
That guy cracks me up. He's so fucking funny. I'm talking like Jerry Lewis hilarious.
Dad, can we watch something other than Happy Texas tonight?
Nope. We could watch that thing you do. Oh, man, he broke his arm falling over a parking meter.
I thought I got rid of that.
Watch him hit his nuts right on that parking meter, Chelsea. Oh, I'm going to rewind it. Oh, boop, Jesus. There it goes again. Oh, boop, Jesus. There goes his nuts.
I'm going to go smoke one.
No, I'm sorry.
No, okay, so there's a line where they're talking about like, oh, I'm going to be out of a job. The bookstore's going out of business. And then I don't remember if it's the woman from Bored to Death or if it's Steve Zahn, but one of them goes, oh, geez. And then you know what's going to happen? I'm going to have to move to Brooklyn. I was like, oh, fucking you wait.
Yeah, no, that's the woman that says that. And then Steve Zahn's like, yeah, I got a rent control department, which is just
lucky you fuckface.
It's a fantasy fed to me by I don't even know who.
It's a fantasy that's fed to you all through the 10 seasons of Friends.
Exactly.
That whole thing is like Monica like pretends that her grandmother still lives there or whatever.
Yeah.
Fuck that. That shit is fake. It's fucking fake.
Yep, it's totally fake.
And let me tell you something. If you're looking to move to this town.
Don't.
One, don't. There's enough of us here. Two, if you are, you're insisting on doing this. If you're looking on a, like Craigslist for a place and it's like, yeah, Greenpoint, Brooklyn. Rent stabilized, you will be murdered.
Yes, exactly.
It doesn't exist in this town anymore.
That's what I love about Seinfeld, is that like they actually, when it is rent controlled, they're like, oh my, when Elaine has to like bargain to get the rent control.
When Manya dies and she's asking the widower about what he's doing with the apartment because he's moving to Arizona.
By the way, bit part in this movie, Toby, who loses her pinky toe.
Yes, you're totally right.
You know who's cut out of this movie? Michael Palin for no reason.
How do you cut out Michael Palin from a movie?
He was like an author that was like in it with Meg Ryan and all this stuff. Kind of the same character as Toby, but probably bigger.
Yeah. Oh, right. I did read that on the Tribune. Yeah. What a fucking mistake. Yeah. Well, honestly,
longer than Raiders of the
Lost Ark. Yeah, it's 2 hours.
Nora was like, yeah, it's like longer than Raiders of the Lost Ark. I don't want to go longer than Star Wars. So, Michael, I'm sorry.
It's a sweet spot.
So they're having this Christmas party, by the way, and there's one thing I did want to point out in it because it seemed kind of weird. It's a Christmas party for the literati of New York City, right? So like Joe Fox and friends are there, Joe Fox and family, I guess I should say. Meg Ryan is there.
Not a bunch of racist fucking jerk offs.
No, not those fucking pigs that are on every morning. And then. You know, so it's all these like literature people. I think Parker Posey is also someone who's a literati.
She's an editor,
of some kind.
Like she either runs a company that runs a publishing company, or is like a big wig at a publishing company.
Yeah, because she wants to hire Meg Ryan at the end.
That's right. So there's all these like literature people at this party, and it's like past apps. Mm-hmm. You know, like past apps are going around. Everyone's just having a cocktail or two. There's this shot. You guys notice this? There's one shot where it's like. Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks are talking to each other at this party, and in the background, this woman walks up to a table with a fucking whole cooked chicken.
No!
What? Yes. No?
She just sets this cooked chicken down on the table like, and now the chicken course.
What?
It's just this beautifully basted baked chicken.
Oh, don't worry. We'll have 58 more of these coming out. It's all finger food.
This is proving to you that the chemistry between Hanks and Ryan is so magnetic, and you're just fixated on it. They're putting in fucking crazy shit in the background to prove that you didn't see it because you were watching the story.
I was. I couldn't take my eyes off these two.
I know.
I think they have great chemistry, dude.
They do.
At all three movies that they've been in together.
I haven't seen Joe versus the Volcano in a very long time.
That is a wild fucking movie, man. Yeah. She plays three characters.
She's
in
three people.
Really?
In
what?
She plays three people.
Three
in that
characters.
Movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And one has like a Katharine Hepburn voice. It's fucking.
I'm
nuts.
Sure the race stuff in Joe versus the Volcano doesn't age terribly.
Do you know who are the two main island dwellers?
No.
Joe Dunn.
Nathan Lane.
What?
And Abe Vigoda.
Well, that's all you need to know.
Oh my God! Yeah, wait, right. I didn't know it was the Descendants.
That was literally, though, what happened when I told my wife. I was like, so we're doing You've Got Mail. And she was like, you're a fucking idiot. Don't you mean Joe versus the volcano?
It might be a stay
tuned. Might be a stay tuned. I don't even know.
It might very well be.
So she finds out that he's Joe Fox. She feels kind of betrayed by this. She's like, oh, you didn't tell him? He's like, well, you didn't ask. And like, he starts like mansplaining the fucking Godfather to anyone who will listen.
All right. And this has to be addressed right now. And for anyone out there who finds themselves in this situation, please listen closely. There is nothing more pathetic than a dude who is obsessed with the Godfather and who is obsessively quoting it. It is one of the dumbest things you as a human being can do. It's fine to be a total fan of the Godfather.
Oh, sure.
But if you're one of those motherfuckers that walks around, like let's say you walk into an Italian bakery and in this bakery you see a box of cannolis, right?
Yeah.
And then you see that and you cannot help yourself but say, drop the gun, take the cannolis.
Yeah.
He's got a gun! It has to stop. This is madness.
It's a bunch of fucking pricks. That's the problem. Yeah. It's all a bunch of white people, not Italians, that quote The Godfather that way.
And
just
it's
to be...
the only movie they've seen. only movie they've seen.
And you know what? And everyone around them has definitely never seen it, which warrants a fucking play-by-play of a three-hour film.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, it's one of my biggest pet peeves.
Okay, they might have already seen Goodfellas.
Yes. Well, oh no, Goodfellas, it's kind of a two-hander. Yeah.
Goodfellas is the next one. That's like the Gen X of The Godfather.
Yes, you're totally right.
To be fair, we reference Goodfellas an awful lot on this
show. We do, because what I'm saying is, it's already inside of you. We are becoming those people, but for Goodfellas. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, we got to pump the brakes.
But it's weird, though, because I think we maybe do like two lines from that film. Tom Hanks is dropping shit left
and
right.
The thing. I don't even think it's a problem about quoting a movie or quoting, you know, because I quote The Simpsons all the time, etc. But it's about being like, hey, man, you know what that's from? And then the guy's like, what? And it's like The Godfather. Like, yeah, I know. Like you know what I mean? It's the showmanship of it all.
But it's like he's saying, no, that's Plato. Or that's Socrates. It's some grand truth from the fucking Godfather.
Well, that's what because basically the next move of the movie is she as a shop girl goes to her friend NY152 and is like, oh, this guy's trying to run me out of business. And he's like, again, to Andrew's point, kind of creepy, like, what's your business?
Yeah, what do you do for a living?
And she's like, no. Yeah.
How do you make your money?
Keep it vague. And then he's like, well, it doesn't matter what you do because I am a brilliant businessman. and I know all the... Here is some solid business advice.
Okay.
Why don't you fight back? And you know what? Keep doing stuff. And how about...
And Eric.
Oh, I'm a great businessman. Question the first. Is your father rich?
What?
Yeah, step one, you have your family be retroactively rich for all time.
One thing we've learned from our current president, everybody who says they're a brilliant businessman is definitely a brilliant businessman.
That's very true. So he's like, oh, you know, then this reminds me of The Godfather. And everything in life can be solved by The Godfather.
Yes, and that's terrible. And I just realized another thing that always accompanies this shit, which is even more fucking sacrilegious, is they're quoting these things and they're saying shit like fucking, you know, drop the gun, take the cannolis, whatever the fuck.
Go to the mattresses.
Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Wednesday.
Inevitably, and it sort of happens here. I don't know if he does it exactly is what I'm about to say, but I've heard other people do this. Whenever you're talking about any dialogue from The Godfather, it could be something fucking Kay Adams is saying. It devolves into someone doing a terrible Marlon Brando impression.
Oh, yeah.
And he's doing it in this movie, but I don't know if he's using other actors' lines in a Brando voice, but I've seen this happen in person, and you're like, what are you doing? What are you fucking doing?
You know what you should do is I get out of the bathroom, right? And then Chris is about to use it.
I'm with you so far.
And Andrew knows like what this. I just did in the bathroom, and it's going to stink in there. What he should yell at is, Apollonia, no!
What? Hold on a second.
Apollonia, no.
Oh, okay. When she gets it.
Because I'm about to go into a car and
Yeah, there's other lines you can do from The Godfather.
Hey, Steve, just took a shit in there.
That was a classic line. That might have been. Hey, Pagoda said that one.
Hey, can you help me out? And Steve took a shit in there.
But that's what let me off the shit hook for one last, for old time's sake.
Don't make me go in there.
But that's.
Can
Can I use your guest bathroom, please, for old time's sake?
Abe Vigoda being reticent about using a bathroom someone just blew up.
My God. That's fucking
Michael, great. Michael, please don't make me go
One
in
One time
there.
I went to the bathroom right after Steve and the window was bricked up.
But like you get these people and it's like, yeah, here they got good Italian food in this restaurant. Yeah.
Like, that's the fucking Irish police commissioner, yes. You fucking moron.
Yep.
It's just like Marlon Brando said that whole movie to these people. It's fucking infuriating.
So she like, he's like, oh, you have to like play dirty. You know, you got to go to the mattresses.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, that's pretty stupid. What does that mean? And then he just explains it. He explains the whole...
Ask your boyfriend to write an article about your story.
Yeah, that's
a fucking big fucking thing she does.
What I mean by go to the mattresses is we're going to have cyber sex right now.
Why aren't...
Dude, he's got his pants off when he's writing all these emails.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm convinced of it. Well,
he at one point to Dave Chappelle later in the movie calls her, and this is the creepiest line I've ever heard any human being say, the most adorable creature I've ever interacted with
my
entire life.
My skin just crawled away.
Also,
oh man, there's a skeleton joining us on the couch.
If you want to sabotage your wedding and you're like, oh fuck, how am I gonna get out of this thing? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm in the middle of this thing.
Sabotage.
In your vows, when like you get up on you get there, like, I'll write my own vows and you can't see it. You just say, honey, you're the most adorable creature I've ever interacted with in my life. Just get the fuck out of my face.
Well, those were good appetizers.
Man, that cocktail hour was something.
Or you could do the Chris's sexual harassment defense when you're getting married and say, I got to take a shit.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Every time. And then
you just walk away. Walk away.
Even creepier than that, I feel, is the line when they're about to meet and he's like, yeah, Dave Chappelle's there. He's like, you know, Dave Chappelle, if she's even mildly attractive, I'd be out of my mind not to propose to her the first moment I met her. Are you fucking nuts?
I don't know what's sadder, that line of dialogue or the fact that Dave Chappelle's got to walk him to the date. Why is Dave Chappelle there?
He's trying to like temper his emotions and not get him too excited. He's like, you know, she could be a dog.
Yeah,
she says that.
Well, the best part, I'm like, Dave, is this your job, man? Like, are you on the clock right now? Because he's basically the manager of this one store, as I understand it.
He's maybe like the project manager. They're building this, you know, they're renovating this Upper West Side building.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's basically like, all right, yeah, all these things are going to come in on time and whatever the fuck.
Yeah. Oh, so what she starts doing is like basically a grassroots campaign. Like she gets Greg Kinnear to write an article. She gets like people marching in the streets. Like,
poor Gene Stapleton's leading these fucking protests or whatever.
And like, you know, I mean, this is the thing that happens when like, you know, communities don't want certain chain stores. You know, that this kind of pushback happens.
Sure. No blow up rat.
Oh, that's what you
pretty fucked up.
Yeah. When was really the blow up rat invented?
By the mafia.
No, but when?
I bet it dates back, man.
Yeah, right?
I bet that's it's like vaudeville.
The last thing Sacco and Vanzetti saw before the fucking gallows gave up underneath their legs was an inflated rat.
No, step on the pump. It's going to take a while.
I don't know. But
by the way, when he's escorted to his date by his project manager, he acts like he's not going to go in there because it's whatever her name is.
Kathleen Kennedy. I kept wanting to call her Kathleen Kennedy.
Oh, no.
No, it's not. So, not the most powerful woman in Hollywood.
Right, Lucasfilm.
Yeah.
So then he's like, oh, no, I can't do this. He leaves. So I feel it's to get Dave Chappelle away from there because he's gonna do a huge creep move.
Yeah.
Right?
Big
he acts like he's gonna leave her alone and then he comes back. I came back later.
Yeah.
And then he acts like he's just going to this coffee shop.
Yeah, oh yeah. And he's like kind of teasing her a little bit. It's
and
a
that's
weird.
Oh,
where's your friend? Where's your friend you're meeting? I wonder.
And this is where any defense of the Tom Hanks character in this movie is completely and permanently
exactly
invalidated.
Now you want to toy with her for like 5 minutes, you're still a weird asshole, but he just does it all night.
He keeps it up through Christmas.
And then he leaves.
Months.
He leaves.
Months.
He leaves.
Well, this dude, he has months of the upper hand.
Again, because I haven't seen this movie in a while, I was like, because it's like him and, you know, all this stuff happens to her story. Like, she's kind of gaining and, like, she said some nasty stuff about him, so he doesn't like her.
Right.
So then they go to this date and, oh my God, she's there. You know, Dave Chappelle leaves. He goes in and, like, or he's about, he doesn't know what he's going to do. And I haven't seen this movie in a while and I'm like, oh man, is he just going to ice her completely and not go in? Like, that is the coldest shit I've ever seen. And I was so wrong, because this is so much worse. Like, icing someone is bad. So icing someone is awful. It's an awful thing to do. You should not do.
But if he ices her, yeah, and then the character, like, goes home and he's like, I just didn't know what to do. I did not expect it to be this person I have this, like, weird rivalry with. How am I, you know, he's actually concerned about how am I going to break the news. Instead, it's like, let's fuck around with her.
His arc is to essentially demonize the best parts of himself.
Yes.
Like, the things she really likes about the guy online, he's like undermining all of it.
He's like, that guy sounds like a real loser.
Doesn't sound like he's got money.
Well, he walks into this fucking cafe, and one of the first things he does is like, oh, you're reading Pride and Prejudice? What a fucking loser.
Exactly. He's already read the book for her, essentially, at this point. Yeah. They need to have like a flashback of like John Randolph and Dabney Coleman like putting cigarettes out on this kid. Like, that's the only way to redeem him.
One for Pride and Prejudice, one for your fucking forearm.
Hey, Joey. You see that little girl over there? Go ruin her life.
I'm going to smack you once for every page in this book.
What's this? What, this Lord of the Rings? We sell books. We don't read them in this house other than The Power Broker, okay?
And The Art of War.
So he goes in and, like, he humiliates her for a long time. She's like, could you please? And this is the first of many times she keeps saying, can you please leave? And he's like, no, I'm not.
No, I'm here to quote The Godfather some more. Dude, which also, like, he should be quoting Mario Puzo or whatever, right?
Yeah.
The book, right?
Yes.
Is that the author?
No, because these fucking piggish people that own these businesses, man. Yeah. They don't actually read these books. Dabney Coleman's fucking throwing books in a huge marble fireplace.
They make this point 1,000 times in the movie about how, like, people who run big bookstores don't read, but people who have small bookstores do read.
Right. Oh, and I feel that's totally true.
Sure, yeah,
of course it's true.
I don't know if that's true.
Of course it's true. Get into the book business, probably chances are you do read.
I'm not saying they're good books. Tom Clancy's probably all over your house.
Well, no, I'm saying, like, if you're some fucking suit
who works
at Barnes & Noble, your passion in life is not books and getting people to read. I mean, your passion in life is fucking capitalist nonsense.
And most of those people, like those companies, it's like all accountants. It's all about the numbers.
Yeah, that's true. You're all salespeople.
You're concerned about where you're going to put the fucking Starbucks in your huge Barnes & Noble.
So, as it goes on, he in this weird way, like, she thinks, like, she's got jilted by this dude. She wants to call it off. One of the funny lines of this movie that made me laugh was when she thinks that he's this murderer, which is the rooftop killer, it was called.
She thinks that the dude she thinks she's meeting is the rooftop killer.
NYC 152. She thinks that that's because why else wouldn't he show up? And then he writes this bullshit, like, totally, like, wishy-washy, like, I can't tell you why I didn't show up, but trust me, I had a good reason. Man, this woman's a doormat. Like, it's just, you've got Greg Kinnear right there. Like, oh, this guy fucking, you know, stood me up. What a mistake. That's a sign from the gods. I'm going to marry, delete, block
or,
message
you know what?
Or whatever.
Fucking message NY153 or whatever, you know?
Yeah, see what that person's up
move
to.
Move on, you know?
Go into the Elf King chat room, you know what I mean?
Yeah, dude.
You started on the over 30 chat room. Go to the over 35 chat room. It's right there.
Here's the BDSM chat room. Figure it out, dude.
You never know. Now, here's my question, though. In this cafe scene where he's being a fucking maniac... isn't this also the scene where she's like, she's had enough and she like amazingly tells him off?
Yes.
Oh boy, does he get fucking filleted.
But I'm sorry. He's been called a suit 100,000 times this month.
And
that's her big fucking like build up is like, you're nothing but a suit.
suit.
No, well, it's honestly, way more involved than calling him a suit.
And
dude.
In the '90s, suit was a big insult.
Was it like a yuppie thing?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There was a lot
maybe.
Of backlash.
She gets to this motherfucker's core, man. You can see because he fucking gets up and just leaves.
Well, that's sort of what this movie's supposed to like make you feel bad for Tom Hanks a little bit. It's like, oh yeah, but she was really mean to him. And it's like,
I don't see it that way at all, dude.
Okay, fair enough.
I see it as like he's being a fucking cock this whole movie, and she's had enough. She's getting stood up by the fucking rooftop killer, first of all. And she fucking eats into this dude, and he fucking has to go away with his tail between his legs. I, as a viewer, and I felt this way every single time I've seen this movie.
Okay.
I don't feel for him at all. I'm like, good, fuck you, asshole.
But but she feels bad for what she says, because when she's talking to 152 afterwards, she's like, oh, you know, I took your advice. I was trying to assert myself, and I did it the worst possible way.
The movie is communicating that you're supposed to feel bad.
You know what, though? I'm a free thinker.
Sure. Yeah, yes. Yeah, that's a good
I make my own decisions. I don't let movies tell me what's going on.
I think I'm with Andrew here.
You know what I
say? This.
Well,
this.
He does get his revenge because he essentially gives her Stockholm Syndrome by the end of this.
That's true.
What I would love is if there's a deleted scene of Meg Ryan visiting the rooftop killer played by one Clint Howard. There you go.
Oh, sure.
That's a fun scene.
Right. That would be pretty cool.
It's like, oh, wow, a pretty lady.
And then she starts dropping references to the emails, and he just starts saying weird shit. And she's like, maybe he is him.
Yes.
He's Clint Howard's like, what's an email?
Man, recycling's fake.
So, I don't know. Like, she winds up having to close her store as sort of the next movement of the film.
Yeah.
And I do say movement because there are no acts to this film. Things just sort of start to happen.
It's a blob.
Well, it's kind of a bowel movement.
She winds up, like, she winds up closing it. And it's amazing because the store winds up being haunted the whole time.
Oh, dude. These ghosts.
What are we talking? Like, I mean, like,
she's watching her dead mother.
It's a one-off line to a customer.
Yes, I think it's to him actually.
Oh yeah.
To him, she's like, "Oh, this picture is me twirling with my mom in the store."
Well, because he does the thing that you should never do to a shopkeep, which is like when you're checking out, and you start talking to them about anything other than the transaction, and he's just like. Oh, that picture back there, is that your mother? I was like, what fucking business is it of yours?
Absolutely. Next.
Debit or credit, motherfucker. Shut up.
I do have to stop the movie dead, this episode dead, to talk about the most emblematic scene of why I hate this movie.
Nice.
Ooh. It's around Thanksgiving, because this movie takes 6 months to go.
And they're beating off on their computers.
They're at Zabar's.
Yes.
A big department store, a grocery store. It's Thanksgiving. There are lines, you know, around the block.
We should say it's like it's a grocery store for like the fucking hoi polloi, man. Like it's like a nice grocery store.
And she's in the front of this line getting ready to pay. And they're like, oh, you're in the cash only line. You can't use your card. And she's like, oh no, is that? And she looks up and of course there's a big sign that says cash only. Like, can you let me slide? And everyone behind her is like, fuck you, lady! Like, and that's the absolute right move.
Of course it is. How dare you hold up a grocery line in New York City?
Because she's just like talking to this woman, like, but could you let me skate by just this once?
And the woman, like, by the way, is the woman from Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, yes. Is she really?
Tony Award winner, who's now her name I cannot think of.
Yeah, she's having a terrible time because she works in a grocery store around Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's for sure.
On top of having to deal with this Meg Ryan, she then has to deal with Tom Hanks condescending to her.
Oh, he white
knights
his way right into it.
Baby. like, hey, take this fucking credit card, you rube, and run it.
Shove it up your ass. And then he's like, what? You might as well be throwing $100 bills in her face at this point. And, like, and the movie is supposed to be like, oh, why can't she just get off this once? And I'm like, get the fuck to the back of the line!
Sarah Ramirez, by the way, is the actress's name from Grey's. And
This is like, I go to this nice bakery in Jersey City, and every single time I go there, there's somebody holding up the line who's never been in a bakery before. It's like, what kind of macaroons do you have? What is this? What is that? How do I use this? What? And I'm like, dude, just fucking figure. And I just want a cup of coffee.
That Metro card, when the tourists find the Metro card machine, you will be there for fucking 5 years.
You know what? This new development I don't like that's been going on in the bodega I get my coffee in every morning at by my office.
Yeah.
Fuck, I always have cash because I'm buying a dollar cup of coffee.
Sure.
Yeah, and by the way, you don't be using credit cards at a bodega.
Guess what, man? They got Square and everyone's taking advantage of it. People are using credit cards to buy a cup of coffee. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, bodega coffee especially.
It's like $1.25 and you're using a card?
I also hate people who are fucking, let me scan my phone at Starbucks. Wait, let me figure it out. Let me get on there.
I am the dude with Apple Pay, but if I see that it's not working, because sometimes it's like not picking up the signal, I will immediately put the phone back in my pocket and get the card like in the same motion.
Nope. Yeah. I always am behind the last angry man with that
shit. A coffee shop, you go to a grocery store, it's not your fun adventure and your cool little life.
Thank you.
People need to get through it the day. We just want to make it through the fucking day.
Exactly. I just felt like I was behind Meg Ryan in this scene, and I'm like, lady, could you figure it out?
I gotta tell you, there's another equivalent to this that I almost, and I was proud of myself, I didn't scream at a person in public.
Congratulations.
Because there's a restaurant equivalent of this. We were at the Han Dynasty on the Upper West Side. Great restaurant.
If you're listening, give me free food.
Right before we saw The Amazing Paddington 2, by the way. So we're sitting at the table having a great dinner. And the table next to us, this person, like the waiter comes over, the person utters the thing that I wanted to fucking throw water in their face. So what's good here?
Oh.
And so if that wasn't bad enough, so this poor fuck has to be like, dude, I got to tell you, this guy, A+ performance. You want to talk about Marlon Brando? This dude was fucking doing it because there was not an ounce of condescension in anything he said. But she kept being like, but what's that? Is this one spicy? Are there peanuts in this one? What's this thing? And this dude threw the... And this... We're talking like 5 minutes.
This guy's probably had this every day, so he knows to every day put a thumbtack in his shoe so that when this is happening, he can just press down on it and think of the pain instead of this.
Because I was getting furious, man.
Oh, man. Oh, people who are tasting. I'm going to go to a bar. Can I just have a little shot of that beer? Like, you know what?
That's another thing that I cannot stand. Dude,
commit to the $6 and we'll get another beer afterwards.
You want to try the beer? Then fucking drink the beer. Man, people are egregious with that. They're getting fucking drunk off of samples.
Yeah, I saw in this very New York City neighborhood, we were at a place getting brunch, and this person was like trying all the wines. And I'm overhearing the whole thing, and I'm pulling what's left of my fucking hair out of my head.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Listen, just make a decision. Like you said, eat the $6. You know what a great way to taste a beer is? Fucking drink a beer. Mm-hmm. How about that? Yeah. It's not going to kill you.
And you don't like it? Oh, shit. You just be like, you know what? Chug it or whatever.
One time I was at a bar. I ordered a fucking Sierra Nevada Bigfoot. It was one of the single most disgusting beers I've ever had in my life. You know what I fucking did? I drank it. Yes, that beer tasted like someone pissed in an ashtray, but I drank the whole thing, and then I got a beer after that beer that wasn't that beer.
Well, because technically that beer is like a barley wine. That's not, it's not a great one.
You know what else is fucked up?
Fire.
VCRs.
Oh, man. Thank you for bringing it back.
Oh, my God.
Because Greg Kinnear goes on Jane Addams' talk show, kind of flirt. And
is it public access?
I don't know. I guess
it could have been like an early New York One situation.
It's like the same place where like fucking Bill Murray's doing his show at the beginning of Ghostbusters 2.
World of the Psychic or whatever.
It was
Eric Bogosian had his show on fucking Blade Trinity. Totally.
And he's like kind of flirting with her and like... Meg Ryan.
Jane Addams flirting back hard, by the
way.
Oh,
yeah. She's pretty thirsty.
The legendary Jane Addams. She's amazing. Fucking great.
Oh, yeah. And she's flirting back. And, like, he's complaining about what, you know, we're using all our VCRs. Now, the reason we use VCRs is to tape what's on television when we're not around to watch it. But the reason we're not around to watch it is we're living our lives. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine that, ladies and gentlemen?
Why don't you find a grave and fucking go in it?
Wow!
How about that shit?
I kind of agree. That's great.
The fuckable Greg Kinnear taken right to the grave by Chris Cabot.
So they wind up, their relationship is sort of ending. They go to the Lowe's on 86th Street.
No, this is that's what's interesting. The Lowe's 84th Street makes an appearance in this movie, but when they go to the movie later on, it's Lincoln Square down on 63rd and Bruce.
Okay, they're in Lincoln Square.
It's a big balcony one.
Yeah. And like they're talking and they realize that they're not right for each other. They go to a cocktail bar to talk it over, and like this bullshit amicable breakup is only to make you think that Meg Ryan hasn't been cheating on her boyfriend the entire time.
Is this cheating?
It's not cheating, but it's just...
Whoa. Steve said it was an emotional cheat.
It's an emotional affair.
The worst possible.
I mean, I don't know what you guys are learning from this catfish show that you watch.
Well, also, he's
learning Black Lives Matter this season.
Oh, my Lord.
Are they touching on Black Lives
Matter?
No,
he's just wearing T-shirts every time.
Yeah, it's like...
Who?
Max and Neve, man. The main dude.
Max and Neve?
They're the hosts.
Max and Neve.
Oh, yeah. There's hosts on that show?
Yes. And
Jesus Christ.
They're the ones catfishing every year.
Well, it's like I'm glad you support the cause, but like it's really obnoxious this season because it's like they'll be like, okay, so a black person has a catfish problem. They show up in Black Lives Matter t-shirts?
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Are they not wearing them if a not black person has it?
Sometimes they wear ones that just say feminist. It's a little much.
It's a touch showy is what I'm saying.
When they go to see white men, do they just have a shirt that says Cole on it?
No, it says fucking Make America Great Again.
Oh my God, that'd be amazing.
A t-shirt for every catfish.
You know what? Ziggy is getting preachy this season.
Well, they also even it out because fucking Greg Kinnear has been having an emotional affair with fucking Jane Addams.
Oh, that's they're doing the fucking slow-mo. Meg Ryan's like, if you pause it right here, you can see the part where you get a boner on national television. What's or at least citywide television.
Is that a stain on your... Oh.
But it's kind of funny because like Jane Addams is like clearly flirting with him. And then he's like, oh, well, maybe she's just a fan. And then like he is hardcore flirting back with her.
And they wind up having that Seinfeldian breakup. It's like, you know, it's the best big breakup in history where they're like, you know, I don't like you either. And they shake hands. Like,
Well,
this has been fantastic.
And what they do here, too, that's obnoxious is so they're having the discussion during the opening commercials whatever. It's kind of a funny line because this woman shushes them.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, the fucking hot dog is dancing. We can talk right now, which I totally support. You can talk through the hot dog.
Yes, you can talk through the hot dog. You should probably whisper through the credits, but once the movie starts, we're not talking anymore.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Whisper through trailers, too, I'm going to say.
That's what I mean, the trailers.
Whisper through the trailers. You can talk, but whisper through the trailers.
Mm-hmm.
But so they're... They realize that this is happening, like, right here in this movie theater, right? But then it cuts to the next location. They're at this cafe. But the first line of dialogue at the cafe would have been the next line of dialogue at the movie theater. So it's movies and television do this all the time where, like, they realize, like, something has to be said, and then everybody shuts the fuck up until they move to a second location and then start the convo again.
Well, especially if you're in the middle of an emotional conversation like that, you're breaking up with somebody. You know what I mean? That's going on the whole time.
You're doing that right out on fucking 63rd and Broadway, man. You're not waiting till a coffee shop.
That's an escalator conversation. Like, the fuck is going on right now?
I couldn't even believe it, by the way. That movie theater has the same goddamn murals up as they did 20 years ago. God outrageous. Bless.
Well, their escalator conversation is about Birdie... fucking Francisco Franco.
Yeah.
The man who killed 30,000 people.
Right. The former head of state of Spain.
Yes.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Gene Stapleton had an affair with him. That was the idea?
Yes.
That was a physical affair, which actually, when you're dealing with somebody with a genocidal maniac, is actually the most dangerous kind.
Whoa. Oh, the passion.
What's that like, though? I mean, presumably, Gene Stapleton's character in this film didn't much share the politics of Franco.
Sure.
So she's just down for the fucking. That's okay.
But it was while he was doing it, so she was clearly okay
with it. You shouldn't fuck bad people, right? That's the whole thing, right?
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true. That's why
you shouldn't give them pleasure, you know, unconditional pleasure and love to Franco.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see what the problem is.
Tom Hanks and Parker Posey get stuck in an elevator, and I kind of wanted this to turn into that movie Devil, where someone in the elevator is the devil.
And I got the perfect fall guy, man, Michael Badalucco in this movie.
Oh, whatever.
Just that nice, fat, nice guy that was on a lot of ABC shows for a while.
He was in O Brother as
Joe
well.
Joe Fox is totally the devil in this situation.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, without question. You can see the fucking horns coming out of Hanks's fro.
You know what I will say? Both dogs in this film do get a credit, and I think that's a woman director thing. And I strongly suggest woman directors because they credit dogs properly.
Oh, that's why.
Not in other things,
but mostly crediting dogs.
You're just a dog supremacist. You don't actually care about women directors. You just want the dogs.
Wait, which dogs though? Tom Hanks has a dog. Where's the other dog?
There's a dog in this elevator scene that should not be credited in this film. Does get a credit. That's why I'm saying this is special care. This woman loves dogs.
That's a dog extra, dude. That's bad.
So what you're saying is you only like the Catherine Bigelow movies with dogs in them.
Yeah, dude, remember that lovable hound in the Zero Dark Thirty?
Yes.
Biting that guy's dick? No. That doesn't happen.
Deleted scene, man. You never know.
You can imagine what it would be like if they did that.
I hear you're very good at finding the newspaper. I hear you have quite a flair for it.
So yeah, then like
Zero Dog 30.
Of course, it was right there in front of our snouts the whole time.
Bet you could snatch some dick and balls.
It's Rover Dangerfield, but to the plot of Zero Dark Thirty.
Oh, dude, if Rover Dangerfield, that's a sequel. Rover Dangerfield 2, CIA Adventure.
Have you ever smeared peanut butter?
It takes place to the setting of Abu Ghraib.
Smeared
what was that
peanut
place
butter.
Called? What was that prison? Abu Ghraib?
Abu Ghraib, man, yeah. Of course.
All right, yeah.
It's a hot destination for a while.
We did a lot of atrocities there. And still do.
So then they start kind of just dating.
Well, they break up. Her store closes down.
Yes.
He breaks up with Parker Posey because the elevator is like, oh, you know, I saw my life flash before my eyes or whatever horseshit.
Yeah.
He's still talking to her as NYC152. You know, they're still doing this email thing. And he winds up like, he knows she's her the whole time. So he just shows up at her apartment one day with flowers and she like, doesn't want him to be there, but he kind of barges into her house.
This is terrifying, man.
This is
some fucking wait until dark without blind people.
This is the rooftop killer stuff.
That's exactly right.
Because she's like, he rings her bottom bell, which gets you into the building.
Bottom bell?
There's a bottom bell and a top bell. The bottom bell gets you into the building.
Well, so the building buzzer.
Yeah,
you might want to start at the top bell and work your way, you know, foreplay.
Wrong bell, dude.
Oops. He rings the building bell, and she's like, yeah, I'm sick. I don't want to see you. And then this woman lets him in, and he goes in.
Absolutely.
Which is like, yeah, it's a courtesy to stand outside the building when someone doesn't want you inside. Then he goes up to the top one, and he rings the bell, and she's like, oh, man. And she opens the door kind of to talk to him to tell him to leave, and he kind of just walks in.
Walks right in. She's sick as a dog.
Mm-hmm.
She's in her bathrobe, he's like, I'm sorry your fucking store closed well because of me, so here's some flowers I bought at the bodega.
I mean, the flowers are lovely, but I don't know why you're wearing surgical gloves.
I'm here to talk to you about Huey Lewis in the news.
And she's like, you know, man, like, I'm really sick, blah, blah, blah. And she even says, it really pointedly, at one point in this scene, can you please leave?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, anyway, the other thing about this,
because
that, the
he's
other
too
thing.
Busy casually making a pot of tea and lying to her. And it's so fucked up because, like, when this scene ends, where everybody's at is she's in bed because she has stated she's fucking very ill.
Yes.
And she wants to lie down, so she's in bed. He's sitting on the side of the bed.
Like, dude.
And then I don't remember what the situation is exactly.
Oh, man.
But he puts his hand on her face.
Ugh.
Like, she's about to say something,
hush,
and he's like,
now.
Just shut up. Shut up. Don't say it. I'm the rooftop killer.
Because he business dominated her. So he's earned
this.
That's
true. That's true.
I'm going to move on her like a bitch.
It's gross, man. Like, leave this apartment and certainly don't follow her into bed if she's not inviting you.
Well, it's hard to not follow somebody into bed, what with it being a studio apartment.
That's true.
That's the problem.
But don't put your fingers on lips, man.
No, man, get those fingers away from
but
there.
But he's specific. And again, like, I'm like, oh, this is the end of the movie where he tells her everything. No, he doesn't. What he's doing now is what we call the long crazy game, which is like, which Eric kind of alluded to before. And this is when he starts actively, each one starts making fun of the other guy. It's that kind of weird power move you'll see with Superman sometimes, where like, oh, that Clark Kent, what a pussy. And then like Clark Kent will be like, you like Superman, that fucking hunky piece of shit? And it's like, dude, are you nuts right now or what? Like, you're the same guy.
He saved the planet for the 73rd time last week.
It's like, oh, that's Superman. He's a fucking loser. And then it's like, Clark Kent, he's a pussy. And it's like, oh, my God, you're just talking to yourself right now. It's like Crypto is like,
I don't have to be here right now, huh?
And then it's weird because he uses this like playing himself against himself to like fake date her.
Yeah.
Because then it starts being like, whoops, we ran into each other.
Oh, shit. That's crazy.
Dude. It should be revealed that like he hacked this guy's email. And
yes.
He just had read them all.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and like it was a big scheme by this evil Joe Fox.
Yeah, dude, he should fucking go down at the end of this movie. He should be arrested by Sipowicz.
He really should be.
Because like, and he's like, oh, wow. NYC 152. What's a 152? Is that how many moles he's gotten removed or what?
Right,
I'm wearing a ripped t-shirt in 1998.
Wow, we're talking bad about people who had moles removed?
I guess so.
Lord. He's also making fun of Joni fucking Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
And she was saying like, oh, he's probably like super fat or something.
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
one of those lines in there.
Yeah, he's like, oh yeah, he's probably so fucking fat he had to be ripped out of his fucking apartment with a crane.
And then in his, oh, that's right, yeah. He's going to be that fat, mm-hmm. my 600-pound life.
Yeah.
And then in his head, like he's chuckling because mm-hmm. he's like, little does she know. 152 is the address of my super sweet fucking rich guy building.
Oh my God, what a maniac. What a maniac.
It's terrifying. And what's unfortunate about it for like the structure of this movie is like at that bed scene, the movie's over with.
Yeah.
Like that should be the end of the movie.
That's just... at least right there. Then it's like your end of act two, like confession, everything's fucked up.
Yeah.
And then you close everything up in the next like few minutes.
Sure.
Instead, this goes for another like 25 minutes
easily,
with this
yeah.
fake dating.
And it's just, it goes on and on and on. And then like basically like, he's like, he as a corporeal person is like, hey, let's get lunch on Saturday. And then he as an internet person is like, do you want to meet me Saturday at like 3 p.m. at this park? So they go, they have a really nice lunch together. And he does this thing where he's like, I really wish you would forgive me for ruining your life. And she's like, yeah, no. And he's like, don't you think we could date each other? And she's like, yeah,
it's,
no.
It's worse than
it's
that.
Totally
it's
worse
way
than that,
worse
Steve.
Than that because he says, it would have been great if we had met and not had this thing
uh-huh.
because I would have proposed to you.
Yes.
Oh, immediately.
Yep. And then she just, and then she, it totally not sarcastically, right? Even though it's going to sound sarcastic because it's coming out of my mouth and the way I use words, she just essentially is like, yeah, I know. Bummer.
Yeah.
I mean, but like, she's totally like, oh, fuck, you're so right, Joe Fox. You're always right about everything.
But, yeah, but there's no way to unfuck that thing, you know, unfuck that chicken. Like, literally, the chicken
dude,
has
that chicken
fucked.
Is fucked to death.
You ruined her business. Like, you know what I mean? Like, she had, not to mention the sentimentality to it, that was her livelihood, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Like, Steve Zahn's out of a job now.
He's got to move to Brooklyn.
Well, no, he's working.
Oh, no, man.
At Fox Books.
Oh,
now.
That's right.
And he is going to set, he's in charge of the, he's actually has what Meg Ryan's job should be.
Yes,
he runs the children's section. And they say, you can't get a job in there, which is what, three people? Unless you have a PhD in children's lit. How many of those are in the city, too?
I think that's just a slight peppering of sarcasm.
I don't think so.
Have
I
you
think
seen the people that work at these Barnes & Noble stores? Come on, PhDs, give me a break. Not happening.
You can't work at a bookstore unless you got PhDs.
Honestly, though, you know, she might not have had to close this bookstore if she just culled this staff down. You know what I mean? Like,
that's
sorry, Zahn, get out.
Here's my question. Is Gene Stapleton taking anything home?
Yeah, that's a
question. Or are you just a sad old volunteer?
Well, she's working.
Which is worse.
She's working the stock market, as we hear. She bought Intel at six.
Oh, that's right. Oh, man.
I'm just
I'm
working
throwing
there
up.
For books. I get paid in books.
In it for the free books. Actually, that's not bad. If you don't have to worry about money, getting paid in
books.
Oh,
yeah. If you can capitalize on someone's dementia, go for it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you're like 80 years old and you're just getting paid in children's books.
Oh wait,
that's
so,
fucking great.
That's so you're capitalizing on her dementia. So you're not actually paying her in books. You're paying her in like grocery store flyers.
Yeah.
Here's another book, Gene Stapleton.
That's actually how they pay Walmart greeters.
That's actually true. Yeah. Here you go, you old sad fuck who couldn't afford to retire.
Here you go, coupon for Q-tips. Get fucked.
Rollback Monday.
Isn't it cute that E-Trade commercial where it's like, isn't it amazing how no one's gonna retire? Don't you don't want to be one of these sad old fucks?
Oh man, it is crazy how we make a fucking huge socially economic disaster look cute.
Mm-hmm. It's adorable.
It's it so is. Fun. It's pretty. It's gonna and be it's, great to die at my desk.
And it's actually gonna be fun. It's gonna be fun and romantic.
I just gotta follow that little green line or whatever the else fuck those commercials tell me to do. Jesus Christ, we're screwed.
So she's like, I really have to meet this other guy, and he's like, well, okay. And then she leaves, and he's told her the name of his dog, which is Brinkley. And like she's in the dog park waiting for him, and you see the dog first, and it's barking. He's like, Brinkley, Brinkley, and he comes around the corner, and it's Tom Hanks. And she does this Meg Ryan cycle of emotions in her face,
yes,
where it's like, fuck this guy. Oh wait, it's that guy I like. Oh my God, what? And like she just kind of goes through all this stuff.
And Somewhere Over the Rainbow is playing in the back, man.
Now, which version was it though?
I don't think it's the original.
No, but I mean, thank God it wasn't that one with the ukulele.
Was
that
No. We're not at a bad wedding. It's fine.
I don't think we're there yet.
But yeah, I mean, here's the thing. This movie, while not being longer than Star Wars, but longer than Raiders, right in that sweet spot. Uh-huh. At this point, I mean, you've already fucking wasted my night.
Sure.
Make it just a little bit longer, because what we need here is the initial please go fuck yourself
to
death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then maybe like a 6 months later thing, and then they like bump into each other. Maybe it's at a Starbucks.
If there was ever a movie that needed a she's all that moment, I was a bet. And then like they break up and then they don't. You know what
yes,
I mean? Like
it's insane that she just sees this dude who she just saw and is like, yeah, I'm cool with it.
Because credits are coming in 30 seconds, so she has like 10 seconds to say, you know, I wished it was you the whole time.
No,
like,
you
bull effing shit,
no
lady.
No fucking way. Are you kidding me?
You were wishing it was Armie Hammer like everybody else. You know what I mean? Like, and you know it's not Armie Hammer, but still.
Meanwhile, you cut back to the fucking Upper West Side 79th Street Basin, man, and Dabney Coleman is covering himself in gasoline and lighting that boat on fire. That's the fucking deleted scene I want to see.
The cops are coming!
Exactly, dude. Fox Books is going under. That would be great. That would actually be awesome. Dabney Coleman cocks it up so bad, the whole thing goes under, and Tom Hanks is just a fucking measly old regular person.
Oh, man, yeah, and he goes to jail forever. all the financial crimes are pinned on the son.
I mean, like, he doesn't ever redeem what he does to her. Like,
no.
And it's never addressed.
Well, because you know what? It's a power move, and he saw The Godfather.
I mean,
yeah, dude, they're just going to the mattresses, literally and figuratively.
It's the 90s version of a thirst trap. Heavy trap, less thirst.
Yeah, I mean, it's just weird. Like, the movie needs to, like they kind of say that, oh, she's writing now, and she has this thing of, like, you know, I never would have wrote this book if not for my fucking store going under and, like, you know, all this turmoil.
I'm finally writing this children's book. All I had to do is disintegrate the relationship with a pretty good dude that I was with and lose my family business that's been with me for decades.
So it was good. It was a good thing. All this, the corporate takeover of everything, it's awesome.
You know what? Here's the thing, though. If the book that she writes is like Harry Potter level successful, it would be totally worth it.
Sure.
It should be a manifesto.
Yeah, I think so.
Recycling is fake. I mean, I love you, but I don't know if we could put this in Fox Books.
Wait, composting is fake?
that doesn't even make sense.
What the fuck?
Wait, this fold-out part, is this how to make a rifle? Oh, my God.
Did you just declare war on the ATF in this book?
I mean, the illustrations are great, but weird.
Is that supposed to be Jesus or you?
Both?
Now, tell me, is this how to make your favorite poison section? Is this all correct?
Wait, you've been feeding me those mushrooms? What?
And then we just go to credits.
Mm. This movie is a quick one.
It's allowed to end like that. It's fucking outrageous.
What about the other six ladies he's running this scam on? That's my question.
Oh, that is a great question, because he's a dude in a chat room. He's got tons of shop girls.
Exactly. Mm, some of them bite, some of them don't.
He's just putting the
bait out in the water, man. See what bites.
He's probably got like some lady in California he's going for.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Mm-hmm. That's
green,
the sequel.
Green Lady 129 or something.
Green Lady.
Who hasn't been seduced by the Green Lady?
I'm going to be seduced by her as soon as you fuckers get out of my
house.
Oh,
you know what? The screen name was Green Lady 420, actually.
Oh, right. That's exactly
what it is.
I always like getting high in the mornings.
New York is waking up.
Oh, you bet it is.
There's just something about wake and baking in the fall.
If I knew your name and address, I would send you a box full of shake.
Thanks for your dry shake. Oh, man. And that's the end of the movie. Here's the thing that's fucked up. I waited till the credits were finished.
No stinger?
I didn't think I was not on Stinger Patrol.
Thanos didn't log in.
What I was assuming I would get is credits are totally finished.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
Goodbye.
Oh, right.
How do you fuck that up?
How about a door slam?
Ka-chunk. Yeah. Give me the ka-chunk.
I need the ka-chunk, dude. Goodbye, ka-chunk. Either would be great.
At the end of every scene in this movie, I could have gone for a goodbye ka-chunk.
Or like all through the credits, there's a little animated version of the AOL running yellow guy. Mm-hmm. Just for fun. For fucking fun.
And it's like that little figure is like jerking off. And it's like, hey, get a computer.
At this point, I've given up on fun in this movie. I've just fucking abandoned ship.
You know what they never discuss in this movie, which I feel like, you know, you're fucking talking to each other on AOL and whatnot, and it's 1998. You got to be talking about all the hip channels that you're checking out.
Oh, sure.
Are you on that Weather Channel? Are you on the Sports Channel or the Entertainment Channel?
What message board are you on? Like an actual message board.
Hey, I could get headline news on this thing.
Exactly. Talk more about the AOL interface.
Ooh, you want to hear about the scores of the games that happened yesterday?
Or the schedule of the games happening tomorrow? All the games.
Clinton's transportation bill is making its way through Congress. And that's all we have to tell you.
You know the sad AOL interface thing that's burned in my brain? I remember logging onto AOL, and right there at the front page was fucking America Online told me that Phil Hartman died.
Oh, wow.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I was like, oh, fuck you, AOL. God damn you. I'm moving over to Netscape.
Did they tell you 2 days after it actually happened?
No, I think it was pretty of the minute.
Did you click on it and it said, goodbye, ka-chunk?
I got ka-chunked right out of there, man.
You got ka-chunked right out of this mortal coil.
So that's You've Got Mail. Would anybody recommend this movie?
I think it's a pretty solid hangover movie. I mean, this thing takes fucking forever. Nobody really raises a voice. The stakes are incredibly low.
Oh, they sure are.
Like, if you're getting Texas drunk like I will be in exactly 3 weeks, this is where you kind of want to be.
No, this is a really disgusting movie, I think. Somebody responded to that picture of you with the VHS of You've Got Mail.
They were like, what a disgusting picture. And that VHS cover is terrible, too.
They said something about, like, some professor did a class on this.
Oh, right.
And I'm like, yeah, you could do a whole fucking semester on this.
The origins of catfish.
Professor Moriarty did a whole class on this movie.
But no, don't watch it.
I'm with Chris here. I really did. I didn't enjoy it. This was actually my first time seeing this movie.
Wow, congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Hey, that's terrific.
Keep it at one.
Happy birthday.
I'd like to thank the chat room. new name for this podcast, I think.
The chat room.
ASL and all that. No, I wouldn't recommend it. I did not enjoy this.
I will recommend this movie. It's an innocuous hangover movie. You can sit through it and just look at it. Look at pretty Tom Hanks, pretty Greg Kinnear, pretty Meg Ryan.
This might be the
pretty Gene Stapleton.
Pretty Parker Posey. This could be the brownest movie in the history of existence.
What?
There is so much earth tones on everybody and everywhere.
It's the late 90s, man. We love dressing like trees.
Dude, man, bring it back. I am team earth tones.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You sit there in a fucking black t-shirt and a black pair of jeans and a black pair of shoes. Wow. With a black fucking headset on.
Yeah, but I do have a brown coat at home. I want to bring it. I'll bring it in soon.
But do you also have a black hat Cadillac?
No, but I do.
This boy is a time bomb.
Oh, you took it from on me.
I'm sorry.
Oh, well, Ruby Soho'd all that.
That's You've Got Mail from 1998, directed by Nora Ephron. We certainly hope you have yourselves a nice Valentine's Day tomorrow. For more We Hate Movies, check out whmpodcast.com. Find us and a bevy of other funny shows over at HeadGum.
If you want a whole other episode this month, you should do what Eric told you to do, which is go onto our Patreon and get our episode on Man of Steel.
That's right, the first Zack Snyder Superman abomination.
As well as Will Smith's bright orc joint called Bright.
Right, yes. And to check that out, just go to AOL.com. Patreon.com.
Keyword, We Hate Movies.
Keywords, wow. Patreon.com/We Hate Movies.
And I do want to mention that also when you contribute, you will also unlock, I think there's like 17 episodes of Animation Damnation, at least right there.
That's
for
wild.
You to instantly binge on.
And that's at the $5 level. If you go up to the $8 level, you'll get 17 episodes of Nexus and a bunch of great commentaries on movies like Taken and the Twilight movies and other stuff too.
Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. We are at WHM Podcast. And of course, right into that mailbag, weallhatemovies@gmail.com.
Oh, I forgot. In 2 days' time, on February the 15th, no one's listening right now, but on February 15th at 7 p.m. on Facebook Live, we will be drawing your listener request month request. Right.
That is correct.
Oh, wait. Now I'm being handed another news briefing.
Uh-oh.
We have a T Public store you should check out. We've got some merch. There's a new Coma Cat t-shirt. If you like the Hard to Kill episodes, right there for you.
Totally. And Coma Cat t-shirt was, of course, designed by our good friend Felipe Sobrero. So, I think that's going to do it for this week. Now, what's up next on We Hate Movies?
We're staying in the romance zone, I think.
Are we?
That what we're doing?
It is a movie.
It is
the next episode is going to be all of us making out.
Yes.
Oh, cool.
A lot of smacking.
Kissing vids.
It is a Jim Belushi erotic thriller.
Oh, my boner's calling.
Traces of Red.
Ooh, Traces of Red. Now, this is not the one, is it or is it not the one with him and Linda Hamilton where he gets the shit beat out of him hilariously?
I think this is, yeah.
Is it? Because that's...
There might be multiples of that.
That might be Separate Lives.
I think that's Separate Lives.
Separate Lives, but that is an additional Jim Belushi erotic thriller.
Either way. She's also his wife and fucking Mr. Destiny. Did they have this thing for a while now?
Oh, we were like Hepburn and Tracy.
Oh, he wishes.
Jim's rib.
Holy shit.
Until next time with Jim's Rib, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Gabin.
Eric Sisko.
Goodbye, ka-chunk.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.